Welcome in to a very special edition of the Return of the Roar podcast. Myself, Chris Watkins, Frankie Cardicelli, as always, joining y'all on this Monday after the NBA draft, which we tried to record on Friday. Things went haywire, so now we're coming to you.
You'd be surprised about how there's not many places to record in a radio station, but we are finding that out every week. So we're working on a place to lock it down. For now, we're back on the stage, so...
No comment. I have nothing to add to that, but yes.
TBD.
You'd be surprised at how hard it is to record something audio-wise at a place that functions solely off of audio. But that is, we'll put that behind us.
TBD.
TBD on an official location. Again, I might as well get the business end out of the way. On the front end, you can watch us right now on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140, where we will be posting the video version of this podcast up on there. Make sure you hit the thumbs up, hit the like, subscribe, all that stuff and more. We'll be trying to come to you once a week at least throughout the off season and then during the season as well. Who knows, you might get some extras there as well. But let's get into the draft. You know, it was definitely a different situation this year as the Kings didn't own a lottery pick, didn't own a top 10 pick. They were picking at 24. Well, we're supposed to pick at 24. We'll get to that in a second. But in terms of what they bring back after draft day, bring in Xavier guard Colby Jones and Furham forward Jalen Slauson with the number 54 pick in the draft. They did trade the number 24 pick along with Rashawn Holmes, excuse me, as I'm getting choked up about Rashawn leaving.
I thought you were getting choked up about Omax.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, dude. We'll talk about it. But, yeah, the Kings send off 24 and Rashawn Holmes to Dallas, essentially for cap relief and, as Frank mentions, for Omax Prosper as well. But let's start off with number 34, the guy that the Kings are actually bringing back. The Kings move up. Currently, we're sitting at 36 and 38. Was 30, it 30, 38? And then moved up with the Boston Celtics up to number 34 in order to select Colby Jones. Shams is reporting that it was the 38th pick and a future second round pick that the Kings gave up to get Colby Jones. Just a couple numbers here on Colby Jones. His career through college averaged 12.3 points, 6.2 rebounds on 49% from the field. Last season at Xavier, his junior season, averaged 15 points per game, 5.7 rebounds, 4.4 assists, 1.3 steals on 50% from the field. Earned himself all Big East second team. Also was in 2021-22, so his sophomore season was the NIT's most outstanding player. He started 82 of 86 games through his three seasons at Xavier. And here's a quote from his Xavier coach, Sean Miller. Says he embodies the qualities that you would want in a team. He does everything. He takes pride in defense. He rebounds the ball. He's very unselfish on offense. His overall well-roundedness, not a word, is what makes him such a good player. So it seems like Colby Jones is really just kind of like a not a Swiss Army knife, but a little seems like a plug and play kind of guy for this Sacramento Kings team. What were your initial thoughts on Colby Jones being brought in here to Sacramento at 34?
I think as soon as Chris Murray came off the board at 23, it seemed like there might be something going on. And literally, I think the update right after the Woj, or I guess Shams was the one tweeting picks.
Yeah, right.
Woj didn't on draft night. So if you don't like spoilers, Woj was the guy you should follow because he wasn't spoiling picks this year. But as soon as Chris Murray came off the board, my phone vibrated immediately, and it was the Kings traded the pick. And I think that kind of – I don't know if it was related. Maybe the Kings were holding out hope for Chris Murray. Maybe we'll never know. But once that pick was – that trade was made, Colby Jones is a guy that a lot of mock drafts had in the late 20s. It was mid-late 20s.
Yeah.
So I think he was a guy that we at the draft party heard the Kings liked him at pick number 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they might have been doing some digging and found out he could potentially be there later in the draft. Once they saw that he was there at 34, they made a move up. They made a move up four picks from 38 to 34. But he's a guy that I think when you look at what the Kings need, he kind of fits that bill of interchangeable guard forward who
yes.
He has a 6'8 wingspan. He can defend positions 1 through 3. I kind of liken him to someone that could be a Josh Hart type player because he's a good rebounder, 6'5", 6'8 wingspan. He's a good defender, good rebounder. He can knock down threes. that kind of screams Josh Hart to me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And maybe that kind of comes at a good time as Josh Hart, someone who I personally would – I've always liked and wanted the Kings to go after. He just re-upped with the Knicks, which that wasn't a surprise. He's buddies with Jalen Brunson. But I think Brendan Nunez, he highlighted on Twitter. I think he might have talked to you guys today on the air about it. But Jones is a guy who would fit well in the Kings' offense. He's a guy who can operate well off dribble handoffs. I think that Xavier's offense really revolved around that type of offense and that type of flow. So when you think about what the Kings need and what fits in with this current group and this current roster, Colby Jones is a guy that makes sense. And I think a lot of the guys we looked at before, Omax, Chris Murray, Max Lewis, a lot of guys that ended up going to other teams, they were kind of lengthy defenders and they kind of fit the bill in other ways. But I think when you look at the shooting potential, the defensive potential, he fits the age bill too. He's 21. Again, we kind of predicted that last week. I think
older rookies.
The Kings were going to go for someone that was more in the age range of this Kings core. He fits all those bills and checks all those boxes.
Love that. Yeah. And if you gave Josh Hart, you think that's the your best NBA comp?
I think so. He might be a little different. I think he's better on ball, not on ball, but better with the ball in his hands on offense than Josh Hart.
Yeah, seems like it. Yeah.
I think he can create. He was an assist guy, too. What was he, four and a half?
Four and a half, under 4.5.
He really did a little bit of everything. Four and a half assists per game, 1.3 steals. He loved that. The free throw shooting is interesting
concerning.
To me.
Concerning. Very concerning.
How are you? Guards that can't shoot free throws will always be interesting.
Doesn't
to me.
Make any sense. He took 4.2 free throws per game last year, shot it. Very concerning, 65%. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I looked at that was his sophomore season. I'm sorry. His sophomore season averaged 4.2 free throws and hit them at 68%. Last season for Xavier, he shot 124 free throws, which is 3.4 per game,
concerning.
And knocked those down at 65%. So
concerning.
Very concerning.
You know, I mean, and De'Aaron Fox, give him some credit. He took a leap forward, and he is someone that can make – he makes free throws. Now, I mean, he was, 80% last year.
Mm-hmm.
But having multiple guards on the floor that can't knock down free throws is a little bit of a concern. I think Davion and De'Aaron both kind of share those concerns, and you don't want to bring another guard in the fold. But obviously, he's someone who has the makings of a strong shooter in the NBA, and we'll see if he can take that over to the next level.
Yeah, I think if I had to give an NBA comp, I think he reminds me a lot of the guys that Boston has in their backcourt, kind of like a mixture of like Derek White and Malcolm Brogdon. I know was like Kevin O'Connor's shades of. I really like that as obviously like a high-end ceiling for Colby Jones. I think he's
like that.
Like you mentioned, he's somebody who seems to be really competent with the ball in their hand, but also somebody who's not afraid to do the dirty work and really I think he shows potential as a scorer. I don't love especially him around the rim. Didn't seem like he was too crafty around the rim. Has a really good floater game, though, that I was really impressed with. I think it's a guy that, you know, if you're going to say what role would he fill on this team, I could see in year one being kind of like what we saw with Terrence Davis,
exactly,
where it's like he comes in maybe once every five or so games, and if he has it, great. If he doesn't, it's not the end of the world. But I think that there's definitely a role that could be carved out for him in year one, where I think realistically you could see him get in some game action here. Like, I don't think that this is somebody who's going to be like what we've seen with Keon Ellis or anything like. I think that this is going to be somebody who's going to be able to possibly crack the rotation.
This is a fringe first round pick and someone that probably should have been a first round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, again, on all any mock draft I saw, Colby Jones went anywhere from 22 to 29. And, even CBS, I did like a little roundup of where all the mock drafts
had. Yeah, I saw that.
Had.
That was great.
CBS had him as their pick, the Kings pick at 24.
Wow,
so
look at that. Sources.
It really is a player that I think is one, like you said, will come in and make an impact from day one, or at least they will hope he can make an impact and they'll give him the opportunity to do so. But my first thought when the pick was made too was, okay, it's a guy that's 6'5". He can play guard. He can play forward in a pinch. He can be a shooter. I mean, Terrence Davis probably on the odd man out here.
I
mean, that might maybe the writing's on the wall, and you wouldn't think so when you see him play big minutes in Game 7 of the playoffs. But it looks like he might be on the way out.
Yeah, that might be a swan song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that wasn't the only move the Kings made. They also selected, as I mentioned, Furham. Is it Furham? Have we gotten an official pronunciation?
Is it Furman?
Furham, Furman, Furman?
I think it's Furman. Furman. F-U-R-M-A-N.
I'm sorry, Furman. Furman forward Jalen Slauson with the 54th pick. This was the Kings' actual pick. They didn't have to move up for this. Slauson is a 6'7 forward who played 5 years at Furman.
Is that crazy? You see all these fifth-year players coming in the league.
Yes.
I think that's what Trace Jackson Davis was, right? Because he was like a 23, going to be 24.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had a redshirt season in there somewhere. But it is really strange to see these guys. Yeah,
like we're 20, you're 27, I'm 28. Yes. Like they're not that much.
These are also COVID kids as well, who you know had to. I think they essentially wasted a year of eligibility because of COVID and that weird season. So I think the freshmen who came out of this draft were guys who were in the COVID class and like that kind of, you know, we see guys like Derek Whitehead and Derek Lively were the one and two recruits. And, you know, that didn't shake out at all in the draft.
It's just jarring to me because I'm looking at Slauson's, you know, his page here and – the 2018-19 King season seems like it was a while ago. Was the scores were here.
Yes.
Fox was a second-year player.
Was that his freshman year?
That was his freshman year. The scores were here in 2018-19. He played 26 games.
Wow.
Amon Shumpert was playing for the Kings.
Yeah, Amon Shumpert's career has been over for 5 years.
Yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein was rim-running, and Fox had the big hair, and he was kind of still coming into his own, and... yeah, he was playing 26 games for Furman that year.
Wow.
5 years.
That's crazy. So, I mean, that really speaks to it. I mean, this is a guy who, much like what it seems to be the trend with Monty, is a guy who spent some time in college and developed in college as well. Last year, averaged 15 points per game, 7 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 1.5 steals per game in 36 games for the Paladins. He also earned the Southern Conference Player of the Year Award and helped the Paladins to their first NCAA tournament in 43 years. So shout out Jalen Slauson for a great college career. I'm sure he will go down in history as one of the best Furman to ever play the game.
The Furman. Guess the mascot.
They're the Paladins.
Oh,
I know. Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, the Paladins. I think it's like has something to do with water. I think it's like a water king or something.
I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
So is their mascot like Aquaman or something?
I think so. I would almost put I would put just about everything I own that their mascot has a trident in some form or fashion.
I like that guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't even know where Furman is, by the way.
Yeah. That's kind of the theme with this Jalen Slauson, at least analysis that we're about. Like, I don't really have much to add on Jalen Slauson. He seems like
South Carolina.
It is. Furman is in South Carolina. Apparently. There you go. The more you know. He seems like a guy who, in theory, you know, and again, when we're talking about the 54th pick, it's a borderline miracle if those guys even end up making or playing a single minute of NBA basketball. But, you know, if he is going to pan out, it seems like is a guy who's going to be defensive minded, but also a little bit kind of, you know, listed at 6'7". He's going to be a smaller small ball four,
Small ball four, small ball five. I think he played a lot of five in
college.
Played
a lot of center in college.
Yeah, and it's small ball five, and he can stretch the floor. The defensive numbers are good, obviously.
Yeah,
it's really
impressive.
It's a quote-unquote weaker conference.
Yes, definitely. I would say, the Southern Conference.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you pick someone at 54, you just got to hope maybe at some point they can pan out into some kind of role player. And I do think that we'll see a lot of him, obviously, this summer. My prediction is he'll be a Stockton all-star. Like, he'll just be a guy
I could see it.
Stockton.
Yeah, definitely.
Just athletic, can shoot, is a defender. But we talked about this before, the Kings second round picks, like the Kings need to get something from a second round pick at some point.
Yes.
Will it be him? I don't know. Colby Jones, I feel like it's kind of like a little skewer because he should be a first round pick.
He should, right. He's a first round talent.
This could be like the first second round pick the Kings have gotten actually some actual production out of. And since who? Since Isaiah Thomas?
Isaiah
Is that
Thomas
the last
probably,
one?
Yeah. If we're talking like realistic, like impact, like sure, yeah, you could say Frank Mason, but yeah, realistically, yeah. Isaiah Thomas.
He started at point guard for a little bit. Not started
I'm
he,
not
off the bench
I'm
for
not
a little bit.
That, though.
You can't count that. No, I love
Frank. G League MVP, but
G League MVP.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know where he is now.
No, no clue.
But no, I mean, you hope to get some production out of him, obviously, but I am excited to watch. I think the Kings have a solid summer league squad we get to watch next week.
Yeah,
I think
try to say that three times fast.
Solid summer league. I don't know.
Yeah. Do
and then say Slauson.
Slauson, yeah. Slauson summer league squad. Summer league, solid summer league start squad. To his summer league.
I can't do it.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm thinking about how I'm going to do it again. But you think about you have Slauson. You have Keon Ellis. You have Colby Jones, obviously. Yep. What was the kid they just signed the other day?
Don't
I was at the Giants
started.
Game, and you guys were blowing up the Sacramento media
get
chat.
Me started.
And this guy looks like a total unit.
As I completely forget his name and go search
did,
for what
I
his name
too.
Is.
That's the way this goes.
His name is Jake Stevens.
Jake Stevens.
And he is now my king.
Apparently.
He is a king, but he's also my king.
Apparently, according to the local guy, Drew, Slauson
that
ended his
local
season.
Guy. It's that local guy.
That local guy.
Come on.
That local guy with the
Local guy.
He Slauson ended his season.
Really?
Apparently. Let me get the game logs here.
I would, for those who have some spare time right now, I would highly recommend you just go look up Jake Stevens' career highlights. You'll be excited. It's the kind of guy who you just can't help but be excited.
Do you know what college you went to?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. Yes. So Furman beat Chattanooga 88-79. Jake Stevens had 25 Ooh. Points on 9 of 16 shooting, 8 wow. rebounds, 2 blocks.
What did he shoot from 3?
Jake Stevens.
Because
shot,
we haven't released what makes Jake Stevens so intriguing yet.
He was 2 of 6, but okay. Jake Stevens, as you talked about, his numbers, 22 points per game, 9.8 rebounds, 55 from the field, 40% from 3.
How many blocks per game also?
2.2.
How about that? So here's
because
the thing.
Unit.
This is what makes Jake Stevens such an intriguing prospect, and we've been burying the lead on this. So those numbers, 22, just under 10 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 40% from 3, 50% from the field. Wow, what a player. How could you get more exciting than those numbers? Jake Stevens is 7 feet tall with a 7'10 wingspan.
What?
A 7'10 wingspan.
Wait, are you?
I am not joking. And the Kings have just signed this man to an Exhibit 10 contract. The Kings didn't draft Amani Bates. This is about as close to hype of Amani Bates as you're going to get from me. And I ended up, for those who don't listen to my daily show, I did end up falling off the Amani Bates hype train. There's a lot there that is definitely questionable about Amani's game. What Jake Stevens brings just from a measurable perspective, again, 7 feet tall, 7'10 wingspan.
This guy looks like a giant.
And this dude is shooting 40% from 3. There's something there. Now, okay. Whether he's going to be soft or mobile enough to play in the NBA, totally legitimate. Absolutely, I will hear you out on that. The dude is 7 feet tall and shoots 40% from 3. I'm willing to at least give him a risk or a tryout.
Who has a 7'10 wingspan in the NBA?
You could probably look it up,
Giannis?
But I would guess.
Does he have that?
I don't think Giannis has a 7'10 is like absurd.
7 foot wingspan is absurd.
Rudy Gobert maybe has a 7'10 wingspan. I would guess Taco Fall probably had a 7'10 plus wingspan. But I mean, besides that, you're
Chris.
What? Go ahead.
Can you guess what the longest wingspan in NBA history is?
I would guess Bol Bol at 8-something.
I will tell you right now.
After the break.
It's Manute Bol.
Oh, I was close.
8'6".
That's massive.
No one else in the NBA right now has a wingspan 7'10 or taller or longer.
Really?
Mo Bamba has 7'10. Boban has 7'10. So we're talking about a guy.
So we're talking about Boban but can shoot.
Boban but can shoot 40% from 3. This man would have the longest wingspan in the NBA currently. Wembanyama, wow. There's varying different reports on his wingspan.
Oh, right. That's a great
It's
great
supposedly
shot.
Over 8 foot, but it's unconfirmed here. Yeah, it's saying it's unconfirmed. But I'd imagine he's up there too. But
so that's what we're talking about here.
But
measurable-wise, somebody who measures the size of Victor Wembanyama.
Are the Kings the favorites for Summer League now? I'm kidding. Kind of.
I'm not going to say no.
Is Jake Stevens the kryptonite for Victor Wembanyama?
All I'm saying is that if things go well for Jake Stevens in this summer league, don't allow a mic in front of my face because I'm going to say some absolutely ridiculous things. But, yeah, so this is the land that we're living in. Is Jake Stevens is our king, and he is a king, and this is the world that we're
Jake
living
Stevens
in.
Is our king, and the Kings have Slauson on the team. They have Colby Jones. They'll have Keon Ellis. And we still don't have the full roster. That should come out
this
week.
There's another guy as well. I think somebody from, Alabama, Mutz?
Yeah, maybe? Mutz. Mutz, he went to Justin Mutz, who went to, I believe, Virginia Tech. And he, again, also is a fifth-year senior.
Virginia Tech.
I think he's a sixth-year senior.
Wow.
This man's a
super senior. That is a super, super senior.
He was in college in 2017. I was in college in 2017. I'm not even kidding.
That's insane. So the Kings, this is via Hoops Hype. The Kings' current confirmed summer league players so far are Jalen Slauson, Jake Stevens, Justin Mutz, Colby Jones, and also shooting guard Dane Goodwin out of Notre Dame. I have not heard that, but that is, again, according to Hoops Hype, and they have a tracker of what everyone's confirmed summer league squads are looking like.
Yeah, well,
not much there.
There will be a mini camp this week, and we'll put that out again, SackdownSports.com.
SackdownSports. Sports.
I will be able to put that out once we have the full roster, and again, we should have mini camp this week. Obviously, tomorrow, Tuesday, we have the welcoming presser for Jalen Slauson, for Colby Jones. Monty McNair will be there as well.
Yes.
We did have a chance to talk to him a couple days ago. He could not comment on the specifics of the trade. I believe he should be able to tomorrow. But the biggest news of the trade night was the Kings said goodbye to somebody. And I think I asked that on draft night, when was the last time someone got traded by the Kings, or the last time the Kings acquired a player on that wasn't a rookie or an incoming rookie? The Kings is something that they really needed to do this summer. They needed to do it in order to operate more freely and make more big swing for the fences moves. They needed to move Rashawn Holmes' contract. They've been trying to move for almost 2 years now. They did that. Rashawn Holmes to Dallas.
Yes, the Kings traded number 24, which was the draft rights to one Olivier Massence Prosper out of Marquette. I love the way Adam Silver pronounced his name when he was announced as the pick.
How do you say it?
He said it just like that. He said, Olivier Massence Prosper.
Massence.
Yeah, he like really hit the Massence. I always thought it was Maxence.
I did too.
But Massence.
Oliver
Maxence Prosper. And then Adam Silver comes up, Olivier Massence Prosper.
He said abroad for a year. You know he did.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they trade off the draft rights to Omax Prosper along with Rashawn Holmes. Essentially, I mean, we haven't gotten the official wording on what the return is, but for the purposes of this podcast, they got it for cap relief, and that's really the key to what the Kings did was moving on from Rashawn Holmes' $24-25 million over the next 2 years.
About 25.
Yeah, so they move on from that. They do not get anybody selected at number 24.
So that money goes to that spot, which is about $3 million. That goes with them as well. So that's
Yeah, so it's about a combined like $15 million just for this year in terms of opening up money. And now the Kings are positioned to have about $35-plus million in available cap space. They also
fourth
most in the NBA, most amongst a team that is like what you would probably consider a good title I wouldn't say title.
You have the list too, I'm guessing, right?
I do, yes. Okay. The Keith Smith tweet is what you're talking about. Yeah, Keith Smith pointing out which teams have the most cap space. If you have it in front of you, you can read it out.
The Kings, basically what we're looking at here, they're the only team that was a playoff team that has cap space. Yeah. You look at the number one Rockets, they have about $60 million. The Jazz have 47. The Spurs have 38. Kings, 35.6.
How about that?
Pacers, 32. Pistons, 30. Magic, 23. So Rashawn Holmes, that move really just opens up doors because Bobby Marks, who was a front office executive, he's kind of like the salary cap expert for ESPN, he put out a piece today that kind of laid out which teams have salary cap space, and it wasn't fully updated, and it didn't really conclude that figure. And basically, the Kings have to renounce the rights to Rashawn Holmes to Harrison Barnes and to Trey Lyles in order to get to that 35. They just got 35 without doing that. So now you're in a position where do the Kings go and make a swing for the fences move with, you know, a Kyle Kuzma, or I think Draymond Green was mentioned, but it looks like he's going to go back to Golden State, according to Mark Stein. But the Kings got the flexibility to do that. So from draft night, they might not have brought in Chris Murray or a big high level prospect in our minds, ones that we researched for a long time. And again, Colby Jones could be that at 34 when the Kings at 24, sure. But the biggest win of the night, in my opinion, is they free up that cap space because now they have flexibility to operate like a team that can swing and go for a big move. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is just a big that's a big change. I didn't really expect it to happen this offseason. I really didn't expect that at all because now that there are some questions that are going to be answered in the next week or two, that are going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that cap figure. I mean, they can really realistically go after whoever they want in terms of free agents. It's just a matter of if the mutual interest is there. It's definitely interesting. I mean, the Kings haven't really been a destination while also having money in as long as I can remember. I don't know if they've ever really even been in that kind of situation.
Isn't the biggest free agent still Vlade?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Or was it, did Malik become that last year?
I don't think you would say that Malik's impact is as big as what Vlade's was. Mm-hmm. Maybe as an individual player, that can definitely pan out. Yeah. But I think at the moment it's still Vlade. But if anything, that I think the point gets across pretty clearly there that the Kings just they just don't bring in big names via free agency. And on top of that, they have the mid-level exception as well, yeah, which they can use.
It was 12.3, but it sounds like they already have ideas of what to do with that mid-level exception. We have a report out of Greece that, again, I'm ready for, as much as I'm intrigued by this whole process, I'm ready for it to be over. I am tired of the will they, won't they tension. Sasha Vezenkov, obviously he was Greek League MVP twice the past few years. He's a EuroLeague MVP, probably the highest, hyped king in a long time. Or it could be king a long
Since
time.
Bojan Bogdan.
Yeah, very similar. According to a Greek report, the Kings are planning on taking a chunk of their mid-level exception and giving it to Sasha, and it's supposed to be in the neighborhood of $8 million per year. That would be a little less than what Keegan Murray is going to get for next year. I feel like the Keegan Murray aspect has been a big component of this. I've seen multiple Greek sources use Keegan Murray as an example, or use him as a maybe sticking point, but I think it's something that Sasha is looking at, saying, I'm going to be playing with or beneath that guy, and he probably thinks he's as good or better than him. They're very similar players, except Keegan probably has more defensive potential. Well, the Kings would take a good chunk of that mid-level exception away and give it to Sasha, who was making $1.8, $2 million in Greece. They're going to give him four times that to come to the NBA. So I don't know how you feel about that. I'm a little wary. I think they could probably get him for less than that, but it sounds like the Kings really want him, because they're going to go. Yes. His asking price was $4 to $5 million. They're giving him $8 million allegedly.
Yeah.
So
that's where I was going to start. Is I just don't really love the reporting on all of this. If you would have looked, I think you can even just Google like what is Sasha's offer right now, and you'll see tons of different reports. I saw there's a report out there that they were offering him more than the mid-level. There was one that they were offering him the minimum, and then the one that you're running with, the 8.5, I also saw that as well. I'm not gonna believe anything until it's officially signed, just like you said. I'm just tired of hearing the will they won't they and all the reports, and like, you know, EuroLeague, the papers are great. Like, they've done a fantastic job of following this entire saga, but they don't really have like a great grasp of how like NBA front offices operate. And I think sometimes, like, they'll just say, oh, Sasha's not going to make more than Keegan Murray because he's not going to be playing more. Like, things like that are like rational. It makes sense. But like, when you actually follow NBA, like, that's not it's not really an indicator of how things actually get done. So I'm gonna hold off on the Sasha money talk, but I think, just as a blanket statement, I think it would be a bad idea to use the mid-level exception on Sasha Vezenkov as a guy that you haven't seen yet. I just don't think that. I think the mid-level exception is something that the Kings, on top of their cap space, could really use to bring in somebody really impactful. And if Sasha is kind of already coming over, I don't know why you would use that as something like, it doesn't make just it was no, what I'm saying. They said, like, why would they use the mid-level exception to get a guy that they're already getting instead of using that mid-level exception to try and bring somebody over via free agency, if that makes sense?
No, it does. And also, like, there's a couple other caveats to that too. If you give him that money, you're essentially saying goodbye for sure to Trey Lyles. Like, see you later. Trey Lyles made $2 million last year. He was grossly underpaid. Yeah. Not grossly underpaid, mind you. I mean, he was a bargain. Like,
yeah,
he was
value.
It was value. And he played his way into a big payday. Good for him. If you give Sasha Vezenkov over $6 million, in my mind, Trey Lyles, there's no reason to
yes.
to bring him back. Yeah. And in my mind, he might even be the better NBA player. We don't know that yet. We don't know. It's all hypotheticals. We'll have to see what happens and how that all unfolds. But a couple other things. Do you have any parting words for Rashawn Holmes before we wrap this thing up?
Not necessarily. I mean, Rashawn is like, I mean, what a great king. Like, I think to me, that's what you hope to get out of a free agent. Like, Rashawn was signed to be a backup big for, like, Costa Kufis, right? If I'm not, or Dwayne Dedman.
Was it a two-year, five or two-year, ten million? I think.
Yeah, I think 11 or something like that. Yeah. He was brought in to be a backup and then literally played his way into a starting role. And then played his way. Like, Rashawn's contract was not a bad contract when signed.
No.
It just became a bad contract when the Kings didn't have use for him in a post-Sabonis era. So it's not that Rashawn didn't earn his contract. It's not that he's not a $13 million player. It's just the Kings didn't have a fit for him. And so I don't want that to get lost. And I know people who actually watched the Kings understand that Rashawn was incredibly valuable and was a great
king. You're seeing those comments too then, aren't you? People saying like, well, why should we say bye to him? Or why would we should be fans? He didn't live up to his contract.
No.
The man got hit in the face multiple times, several concussions.
Yeah.
And then because the Kings were in a pinch and the opportunity presented itself, they traded for an all-star big who's an all-NBA player, one of the best players in the league. And you know what? That's unfortunate, but it would not surprise me at all if he goes to Dallas.
No, he's going to kill
it. Becomes really good.
He's going to kill it in Dallas. Yeah. He's the exact kind of guy who knows his role. He'll do everything that's asked of him. And we know, like, we had Rashawn Holmes as a starter here for, a season and a half?
Yeah, and those numbers
He was good. He was like a real, for sure, he's not an all-star by any stretch of the imagination, but Rashawn Holmes is a very, very solid starting center. Like, somebody that you would put in, and I'm not talking value, or like replacement level. Like, Rashawn Holmes is your starter, and you're like, cool, we're set there. Like, I don't think he's the kind of guy where it's like, we have him, but, we can always improve there. I think Rashawn is more than capable of holding things down at Dallas.
Rashawn Holmes as a starter, mind you, 12.5 points per game, 8 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 65% shooting. He was among the league leaders in shooting every year.
Bring the push shot back.
Yeah, and it's going to be him with Luka, and if Kyrie's still there, I mean, him operating with Kyrie out of a pick and roll, too, is just going to be disgusting. And it could be a problem for the Kings down the road.
Yeah.
I will say I remember Rashawn did struggle with Sabonis, like, on defense.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, when they were, like, when Sabonis was in Indiana, I remembered that game. I think it was the game where De'Aaron dunked.
On Sabonis.
But I think Sabonis had, like, a double-double, and Rashawn just wasn't able to stop him. But
Has his faults, for sure.
I think that he was a very well-liked king, beloved here in Sacramento's family, too. I think everyone loved his parents.
Got to say, great guy. I mean, like, it's cliche and, like,
a lot of off-the-court stuff, too.
It's actually true. Like, he's a top-notch guy.
Top-notch guy. The stuff off the court, too, seemed ugly, and it seemed like it was a really bad situation.
Just bad stuff,
His family, can't say anything else, but great
top-notch
things about
family
them.
Also,
They were great here. And, I think he'll get a nice standing ovation this fall.
He will.
I think he will. And I think it was unfortunate for him that it all ended the way it did with the injuries and with Sabonis coming in. Like, you lose your job, and it all kind of happened at the same time with the off-the-court stuff and him losing his starting job. And I wish it would have gone out differently, but he is going to be a very rich man when his career is over, and he is someone who will find success elsewhere, I think. And the Kings free up a lot of money, so everyone wins, I think.
I think Rashawn is, like, one of – I can't even think of another option. Like, who has signed here in Sacramento and actually gotten better?
Oh,
and even if there is a list, like, it's a really short list. Because even Malik Monk, you could say, like, he played kind of to this level last year.
He took a step forward.
He took a step forward.
Is that the best year of his career last year?
Maybe not statistically. Last year with the Lakers, Malik was putting up numbers.
He was really good with the Lakers. Statistically, though, last year, it was not. You're right. Lakers was a better year for him. Really good. I mean, he was good last year.
Yeah.
Also, side note, Malik Monk didn't start one game last year. I didn't really realize that. Not one.
That's incredible.
77.
Well, actually, that makes sense, actually, because now that I'm thinking about it, Mike Brown would start TD in games when Herter was out. He would always just opt for TD, which...
That's not going to be a thing. That's not going to be a thing anymore. Yeah. I mean, unless we're wrong, I just don't think it's going to be a thing anymore.
That's definitely not.
No, I don't think anyone's got signed here and gotten better. I mean, Vladi, maybe?
Right,
I think Vladi was like a Like, he was kind of playing with...
Impactful here, yeah.
At the end of, like, Magic's career, I think. He was at the Lakers end of Magic's and career, Charlotte.
Spent some time in Charlotte.
He took a step forward, for sure. I mean, he had a really good year at the Lakers. He had a really good year at the Lakers. Oh, my God.
But even, like, in those bad years when the Kings were like, anyone who wants to sign here, you'll have a role and you can do whatever you want, like... I guess Marcus Thornton, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, there's just not many people who've came to Sacramento and, like, especially not used it as, like, a building block. Like, especially a lot of the time, like, it's you come to Sacramento, you might play your best of your career and then never really have anything else happen to you again. Like, I think Rashawn is going to have, like, I'd be shocked if he's not still, you know, the Dallas starting center in 2 or 3 years.
No, I think he'll be very impactful. He's young. He's 29.
Yeah.
Young for, I mean, not young, young, but, you know, well, 29 in a week.
Yeah. So you can still call it young.
Before we walk out of here,
let's set up free agency.
Speaking of free agents that get better as you go on,
yeah,
doesn't need to be like a super in-depth thing, but I mean, the Kings have money to spend. Next time we talk, they probably will have done something. Like, again, free agency begins for everyone out there Friday, June 30th, this Friday.
Is the legal tampering period,
3 p.m. You can agree to deals, you can't sign them.
Interesting.
So you can agree to a deal, can't sign at 3 o'clock Pacific time. Let me just rapid fire here.
Yeah.
Rapid fire.
Sure.
Terrence Davis, staying or gone?
Gone.
Alex Len?
Gone.
Tremaine Mantu?
Gone.
Harrison Barnes?
We'll talk about that next week.
I will say, okay, it's hypothetical. Harrison is gone. Do you have someone in your brain that, like, is your ideal? If the Kings get this guy, it's a fantastic offseason.
No. And that's the problem. And me and Whitey have been talking about, there's no, you cannot convince me that anybody is a clear and obvious upgrade over Harrison Barnes. That's a free. I mean, Chris Middleton, I'll hear you absolutely, but Jeremy Grant and Kyle Kuzma are the two biggest other forward names thrown out there. And we'll talk about it a lot more next week or in our next episode. Well, we might record
something
this week.
If something happens, we'll definitely break down all that. I will say, surface level, I agree. I think,
And that's where I'm talking to. Very surface level here. Well, like, we can get into the weeds of it, but
can we agree that if the Kings' move is to retain Sasha? Sign Sasha, retain HB. If that's like their kind of money moves this offseason, it's not a success.
It's definitely not a successful offseason, but I don't necessarily think that that means that they're going to be bad or like, or they're worse off. I just think it's really hard to, like, everyone who listens to this podcast knows how I feel about Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
I would be the first person to tell you that, we should replace Harrison Barnes, but it's just a lot tougher of an exercise than what.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, way easier said than done. Because there's guys out there that do things better than Harrison Barnes, but when you talk about the totality of it all, like, there's just a lot of steadying presence and, like, a lot of little things that Harrison brings that just, you know, a guy like Kyle Kuzma, like, he's trying to shine. He's trying to prove he's a star
as well.
There's
that quote about him. He said about the potential trade with Buddy Hield a couple of years ago. He said, I was looking to place out in SAC. And he's like, I was about to go crazy out there.
Exactly. That's not what they need. And Jeremy Grant, and again, we'll get into this more, or you can listen to me every day. But
I was wondering if that, because it seems like a likely scenario.
Yeah,
if you'd see
that
as a failure. Because next time we talk, I mean, if HB comes back for, 3 years, 40,
the number is also
million,
going to be very key for HB for me if they're going to bring him back.
They need. All I'm going to say is, without getting too into the weeds, they need to make – if they're going to make a move to bring back HB, I hope it's at a point where they have enough money to both bring Sasha or Trey in, retain HB, and have enough money for one more move, whether it be a backup small forward.
I would think at that point you still have your mid-level.
It
depends, again, what they do with Sasha.
To my knowledge, you can't use, all of your cap space, then use the mid-level. I think, because that's, cheating. Because the mid-level is for teams that don't have cap space.
Uh-huh.
It's a very gray area. I think that they can use some of it, but not all. It depends how much cap space they use.
Okay.
I think it changes their cap space if you use the mid-level. It doesn't affect your cap space if you're over the cap, but if you are under the cap, it does. It's, a confusing thing to me. I don't know. So what I'm going to do is, because I'm not a salary cap expert, like watching ball and talking about it.
Yep.
We're going to watch this stuff unfold.
Yep.
And then we're going to adapt, and we're going to talk about it. Yep. But I will say that my prediction is the Kings are going to make a move that's going to be surprising. Mm. And I think it'll be one that we didn't see coming. Very much like the move to trade Rashawn Holmes. I did not go into draft night thinking at all that Rashawn Holmes was going to get moved. Just did not register to me.
I had a feeling.
Did you really?
I did.
On draft
night? I said it last week on the pod.
Did you really?
I think I did.
I wish we could.
I'm pretty sure I did.
We hire a digital guy in the next couple months. That's funny. We're gonna have someone do a flashback.
That's hilarious.
Be like, did you say it? We'll find it.
You're funny.
What?
That we're gonna.
Well,
anyway, we can't even find a studio, let alone a digital guy.
It'd be funny if like a light fell right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Kings free agency.
Yeah.
Next week.
Next week, maybe later this week, if something big happens, we'll hop on. But
if something like huge were happen Friday, like if the Kings were to like sign Chris Middleton, I'd say I'm coming in. We're gonna talk.
Absolutely. I doubt that'll happen, but if it does,
I wish that would
check
happen.
The feed for Frankie Cardoso. Unless you got anything else to add.
No, I mean, obviously we'll be continuing to write. Chris will be on the air every day. I'll be writing stuff for the website, but obviously follow us on social media, go to the website for all the latest news. And, I think that's pretty much it. I might go to Oakland to see Yankees A's tomorrow.
Really?
I think I might stay the night.
I need to put in my request for A's tickets. I need to go see an A's game before the end of the year for sure. Sam, I went to opening day, but
Sam wants to go too, right?
Yes, she does. Yeah, she's never been. Yeah.
Pay your respects to the Coliseum.
She's just like, She keeps wanting to go see the Coliseum, and I'm like, there's nothing to see. It's just like, I mean, I've told her how terrible it is, and like, there is an element of like, I got to see for myself how terrible it is.
Did she watch Moneyball and like Moneyball?
She did watch Moneyball. She did like
Moneyball. Is the reason why. It's the Brad Pitt effect. You see Brad Pitt, you want to go, he sat here. I tried to find that seat. And I went to the reverse boycott game.
Yeah.
And I tried to find that seat. I was like telling Allie, like I watched it like the day after. I'm like, I didn't sit in the right area. I wanted to like sit in the seat he sat at the beginning of the movie.
That'd be a hard picture.
That'd be sick.
That'd be tough.
But no, I don't think anything else going on.
All right.
Happy free agency. Happy draft.
Yes.
Now the fun begins.
Enjoyed the draft.
Happy summer league.
Happy summer league right around the corner. California Classic. What up?
Summer league. I think you're doing a show the day before summer league. A day of summer league, July 3rd.
Yes, I'm doing a show July 3rd, July 4th as well. Because no days off. Why would I? I mean, if anything breaks NBA wise, which it will, on July 3rd or 4th, you can check. I believe me and Jay Mars will be on air from 9 to 12 on the 3rd and the 4th. And then, we got fun, Summer though. League as well.
There'll be a lot of stuff going on.
I hope
a lot of movement.
I really hope
The 4th of July stuff goes down every year.
That's KD day.
Yeah, the 3rd, I think, or the 4th. The 4th was KD. The 3rd was DeMarcus Cousins to the Warriors Day and LeBron James to the Lakers Day.
Yikes.
That was the California Classic, and it was a circus. Yeah. Everyone was, like, freaking out. People weren't really focusing on the games because they were just thinking about LeBron's going to the Lakers.
Yeah.
That was July 3rd, I think, 19? So,
man.
You'll be having some fun time.
Feels like yesterday. The California Classic, July 3rd, we will be able to see Victor Wembanyama potentially. Hopefully he's able to suit up, go against Brandon Miller. I think that's at 5 o'clock on the 3rd, and then the Kings play at 7.
Against Golden State. So that's
against Golden State.
Pods against Pods.
Pods against
Brandon
Pods. Podzemski. I believe it's and we'll be able to see Trayce Jackson-Davis right in front of our face.
Trayce Jackson-Davis versus I'm already forgetting his name.
Jake Stevens. Come on, our king.
On deck.
I can't wait. If our next episode will possibly be a free agency primer, will possibly be a free agency reaction, but stay tuned, stay locked into the feed to find that episode as soon as it hits your inbox. I don't know what it's called, your feed?
Whatever device you're on.
Yeah, exactly. For Frankie Cardicelli, my name is Chris Watkins. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We will talk to y'all soon. See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.